Did you see the list in Time Magazine last week, top 50 websites for 2009?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I saw it, too, and noticed, as did our first guest on the phone, that there were no federal websites included. And writing about this on her personal blog, on .gov.com, is Gwen Costin. She's director of new media at the Homeland Security Department. And writing on her own on her blog, which we'll have linked up later on federalnewsradio.com, and expressing her own opinion and not that of the Department of Homeland Security. And Gwen is our guest. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Francis, for having me and for explaining who I am today.
Well, thank you for coming on. What was it when you saw the list? What was the thing that made you say, this is something I want to write about, call attention to?
Well, I think every time you see a list of, you know, the best of everything, you always just set yourself up as a compare. And whatever industry you're kind of comparing, you go through the list and, you know, and you're looking for maybe yourself or colleagues or friends of yours, and you're looking for that kind of outside, you know, evaluation. So, and also, you know, let's face it, list of 50 best websites. I'm also looking for some personal tips to see how I can make my life better.
You boiled it down to four main things that you think are important. What was it? How was that process? I imagine that you didn't just look at all 50 sites and say, here's my checklist of four. I imagine there was a boiling down process there.
Well, I think that, you know, to some degree, when you take a look at those sites, the elements that I identified in the blog post really did actually jump out. Because you're looking at the sites and you're identifying what they are, and it's like, you know, and part again, you know, as a comparison, it's like, you know, what's happening here? And so it's not really a big process, because I think that when you take a look at those 50 sites, the commonalities do jump out.
There's a link through your post to the list of top 50, and as I said, we'll have a link to your post at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. They're pretty simple, straightforward things, but still, I think, pretty interesting, because obviously if you thought that they were significant enough to write them down, you noticed as you perused federal websites that you didn't necessarily see all these things. First one you write about is pretty simply, do something.
Yeah, I think that's a critical thing. The best websites, almost every single one of them, had a task for people to complete, and so that they could actually do something on the site. There were no general information sites. I mean, it really exposed that top websites are destinations for people to accomplish tasks. And I think that that's a big challenge for us in government websites, among government websites, government information, because a lot of information that we have a lot, one of the tasks that we have is providing levels of information. But if you really look at the list of the top sites, they really are focusing on doing something. And I want to really briefly take an example of some of the ComScore just came out in their July list of top 15 government websites. And these are top government websites by, not by an evaluation, but by traffic. And of the top 15 government websites, and these include state, local, and federal websites, the top sites have to do with lotteries, so people are looking to get their lotto information. But among the federal sites that are listed there, it's the student financial aid site, where people can apply to financial aid, USA Jobs, where people could apply for jobs, the Social Security Administration, people are applying for benefits. So you can see this trend where what's popular is where people are able to accomplish something, to do something.
Now, Karen, you were in government at the time, the whole time that we transitioned from websites being just brochures, this is why we exist, and call us on the phone or write us a letter in the mail, to where the websites were actually transactional, as Gwen is talking about, where you go and accomplish something. Was that a hard mindset, do you think, to break the idea that a website is just a... Because, I mean, to be honest with you, I can go on some congressional websites, and they're still brochures in 2009. So, obviously, not everybody all across the government is really with the program yet.
Well, even the top 50 ones, a lot of these are transactional types of things, and it is tough. And so you have to take a look at what the agencies are doing. For example, when we started bringing things together like recreation.gov, that's really great because people want to go to state and federal parks and things like that and plan out their schedule. And so the do something that Gwen is hitting on here is really key in trying to hone in what kind of federal services are really what people want to have the most of.
Mm-hmm.
And so the transition was easier for several of the agencies that have transactional types of things. I think the next development, and Gwen, you might want to jump in a little bit on this, is then once they send the information in and the transaction starts with the government, the customer wants more feedback, kind of like what happens on FedExpress, where you can actually track your package all across the nation and things like that. That's not happening within the federal government either.
I think that, to what you're saying too, Karen, the critical factor, and that's really the number two I identify on my list, is having to focus. And I think that, as you identified already, it's, some agencies or some items really, there's a focus. You want to go to a state park, or you want to go on vacation is what you want to do. And looking at recreation.gov gives you an opportunity to focus on what that task is. And a lot of agency websites, the transaction is not as clear, it's not as clearly defined. And that's why the recommendation that I'm making, and actually this is bolstered, as Karen's well aware of, the Web Content Manager's form, is really to have a focus on the top tasks. People do want to accomplish things within a federal website. How do you make that easy for people to find, even on an information-rich site? How do you help them to accomplish what they're trying to accomplish? And I think that, again, it's that level of focus, even on a broad site, that if it's easy for people to find information, if they can see that hierarchy, you're going to have a more successful site.
Focus is the second of the four elements that are on the list. On your post, four lessons for .gov, what makes a top website. And want to talk a little bit more about focus when we come back from the break. My guest is Gwen Costin, Director of New Media at the Department of Homeland Security. And we are speaking to her on her in her personal function as the host of on.gov.com. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Schaefer, Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications, DHS. On the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by EDS and HP Company.
Cybersecurity is an everyday problem. It's not a future problem. It's a current issue that we've got to address on a daily basis. We are under attack on a daily basis. And so the DDoS, which really was a low-level, not very sophisticated attack this time, is something that we see on a regular basis.
Behind the secure credentials of 18 million people and the trusted exchange of information, behind healthcare benefits for millions of patients and the logistics of supplying troops around the world, behind the essential services of our government are the technology services of EDS. EDS helps our government at every level do more with less. Visit EDS.com/success. Behind success, there's EDS and HP Company.
Hello, the Geico Gecko here, and I've got a little secret to tell you. Come a bit closer to the radio. That's good. You ready for this? Geico was not named after me. Nah, it's true. It all came about over 70 years ago when Geico was known as the Government Employees Insurance Company, or GEICO. So if you're a government employee, you should be feeling pretty special about now. That's right. Geico was named after you. And you know what else? You could be eligible for federal employee discounts on car insurance, on top of Geico's already low rates. Plus, 97% of customers say they're satisfied with Geico's service. Well, with all that, who could name a better company for car insurance? Certainly not me.
Well said, my little green friend. This is Mike Causey. If you're a federal employee, this is a great time to find out more about special Geico discounts that may apply to you. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit GEICO.com and see how much you could save.
How can the real estate market change your life? Hi, this is Jeff Schnitter, Come spend 3 days with me, and I will teach you how to take advantage of the hottest foreclosure market in over 50 years.
Attend this amazing seminar Thursday, September 10th through Saturday, September 12th at the Sheraton Premier at Tyson's Corner. This three-day foreclosure workshop will teach you how to make money now through real estate investment. You'll learn how to land foreclosure properties, buy, hold, and sell investments, and create your retirement plan. And the first 100 people to call will attend this life-changing seminar absolutely free.
You risk nothing but have everything to gain.
That's Thursday, September 10th through Saturday, September 12th at the Sheraton Premier at Tyson's Corner. This three-day foreclosure workshop is valued at $3,000, but free to the first 100 to call 800-430-7735. That's 800-430-7735. 800-430-7735.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In studio with me is Karen Evans. And on the phone with us is Gwen Costin, Director of New Media at the Homeland Security Department and the host of on.gov.com. Before we get back to your list of four lessons for .gov, Gwen, I wanted to point out something that you wrote in your about on your blog. People expect government to be like Google, YouTube, or Amazon. They expect to be able to find what they want when they want it. They expect services to be available online and on their phones. As you talk to IT people and even new media people around the government, your peers, do you find that they get that mentality? I think you're right, but I'm not sure that everybody gets it.
Well, I think that's a broad thing. I mean, that everybody gets it is always the holy grail. But I think that you're seeing an increasing understanding about it in government, as along other industries. I mean, I think sometimes, you know, I also want to say that I think sometimes government gets beat up for not getting it. But like other large organizations, you know, it's hard to turn an aircraft carrier. And government is not alone in terms of other organizations as you know, learning more and picking up and learning new ways to communicate, because we have other older ways to communicate. So we want to give my brothers and sisters in government kind of a, you know, let's not beat ourselves up too much. That being said, I also think though, and Karen's work that, you know, that she's, you know, helped to lead for years really shows that there is a change that's coming throughout government, throughout communications. And I would offer that there really were two main things that really are helping people to get it. One is the increase of broadband. What that does is it really makes rich media more available for people, and it really changes the way they interact with websites, with content. And the other one is mobile, because right now in my hand and in the hand of my teenage son, he has more computing power than I had on my desk 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that wherever he is, and wherever I am, wherever you are, we actually can access services, and we're expecting that more and more. And I think the government is you know, we're all in that funnel. We're all going down that same chute together. And
yeah.
I think people are gaining that information.
And it's not changing anytime soon. It's only going to move faster. My wife and I were having this conversation. First day of school was Monday. My son is going into fourth grade, and he already wants and probably will get within the next 5 years or so a phone similar, Gwen, to what you're talking about with that kind of power. The issue is going to be how do we keep a lid on the texting, I think. But
well, my daughter and son, they're teenagers, and so it's exactly, Gwen, what you said. As soon as she thinks that she wants to do something, she goes out, she gets an app for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the other points that you have in here, the four pieces that you have, the focus, the engage, and the share, and the do something, really does get to the fact that government does need to focus. And that was the point that you were bringing up earlier, is that you really need to figure out what you're going to deliver, because then you could be overwhelmed by the funnel,
mm-hmm,
with everything that's out there and trying to be everything to everybody.
I think, Karen, an effort that you have, and you may want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the challenges in really helping people to focus on doing something, you know, and breaking down the barriers of the different agencies, because if people are interested in, you know, travel information, they don't care which government information agency provides that information. And I know you were working very hard on establishing, you know, task-wide portals.
Right. Well, and one of the challenges, one of the biggest ones, is when you start following the supply chain, for example, like on recreation.gov, it makes sense. Oh, the federal government does all this stuff for free, right? But the state and local governments actually charge fees and have services. And so now you're affecting revenue streams. And so there's a lot of work. And as a content, the content managers, you guys know that there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes in order to work out what those arrangements are so that it does seem seamless to the customer. But there's a huge amount of relationship building on the back end to make that service available.
Gwen, as we're going through this list and that we kind of got up to the third one, and which is Engage, but I think Engage and Share are the last two on your list, and they seem to fit together because, as I was talking about my son and Karen talking about her kids, they expect the interaction that you're alluding to in both of those. They expect to be able to participate. And in fact, Karen, you mentioned when you were here the last time, giving a big thumbs up to the Obama administration because they've been very active in figuring out, coming up with ways, being proactive in finding ways for people to participate.
And DHS is doing this right now is that they've have their second dialogue underway right now for the American public to participate. And so I think that those are great things where people get to participate and share their thoughts. And I think some of the concern that the federal government management, maybe the career management had was, people won't do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But Gwen, I would think in your experience, throughout all of this, that you would see that people really do the right thing when they're given the opportunity.
I that has been my experience. But even if they didn't do the right thing, it doesn't matter because there's going to be another layer of people that are going to engage with or without the government helping. And so government can participate and provide opportunities for sharing and engagement or not. But if government does not do that, they're not going to be a top website, and people are going to be making their decisions engaging in another venue. And government will not be a part of that. It will not be a part, and that means that information that's really important to people, that's terrific, that's helpful to people, services that government can provide for free or with kind of a seal of approval, aren't going to be as available to people if government doesn't play. My kids, your kids, our younger colleagues, and even colleagues our own ages are right now, participating in rating systems, et cetera, outside of government. And so the question is, how do we engage, how do we share in this ecosystem that already exists? And if you look at some of the top sites that Time Magazine talks about, some of them are aggregator sites. Some of them are ways, an example is Yelp. Yelp is a tool that allows people to rate restaurants, service providers, whatever, and share that information with their friends. People are rating the services that government provide, whether it's at your local DMV or whether it's at a federal service center. And so I think that I think that Karen, you're exactly right. People have a tendency, and they, in general, do the right thing. But whether they will or not, we can't control that, and they're interacting on their own.